man, I was up this morning. It's like all of a sudden a thought hit my head while I was sleeping, and I started getting excited at 4:30 in the morning. Does that happen to anyone else besides me? That was me this morning. 4:30 this morning, all of a sudden, I am just pumped about going to Mexico and all the unknowns that go with it, you know, because, you just don't know. And then I thought about, Lord, how are we going to pass out all of this candy? 50. I think at least 50 pounds of candy. None of it's chocolate. Not going to melt. I'm thinking, it'd take us the week just to pass out 50 pounds of candy, let alone get a house built. When are we supposed to deal with this stuff if we're trying to get a house built for Raquel and Haka? What's Haka's, rest of Haka's name? Do you remember? I don't know. Raquel and Haka. That's who we're building this house for. So you'd be praying for Raquel and Haka. And I'm telling you what, Raquel is a cook. And then I see all this cooking stuff and all this kitchen stuff. We got the bill. No. And here's what will happen. There are plenty of other families in the area, amen, that we will bless. If we've got too many pillows, which we've got too many pillows, that's okay. But that's the heart of God. Abundance, overflow. See, God is not a stingy God. He's never been a stingy God. And so out of the abundance, out of the overflow, God pours out. Again, the promise we read 2 weeks ago, and test me and see if I will not pour out a blessing you cannot contain. And so if we're being poured out a blessing that we can't contain, in turn, what are we going to do? We're going to pour out of the overflow, and we're going to give. And so I'm not surprised that there is an overflow of everything. And the, some of the stuff, again, Raquel's daughter is going to graduate from nursing school in 2 weeks. So all the toys that you have back there, it won't be for their household necessarily, but I'm sure we will. And Roland and Karen will help us. Again, I so appreciate Roland and Carolyn Ashby. And those of you who didn't get a chance to meet them last Sunday, what a character. But, I mean, between him and Mr. Mustang coming to church Wednesday night, I'm like, wow, Lord, we're so blessed to have such interesting characters and friends in the ministry. Turn in your Bibles this morning, if you would. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and I'm so excited about going to Mexico. And go back a slide and give us my title. We're still talking about possessing the land. And the Lord spoke to me while we had the opportunity to go up to see some of Oklahoma, and while we're driving, the Lord dropped in my heart, because I knew what my passage, my text was going to be, but as I said the word business, everyone say business. The Lord said yes, but I want you to make sure they understand that it's business and not busyness. Isn't that God? Because I'm not near bright enough to come up with something like that. That's just not me. I don't have it in me to have those type of thoughts and words. The Lord said, let them understand that I have some business for the church to do. I have some business for the people of God to be a part of. And they need to catch it. They need to understand that his business needs to be. I'm like, I need to have some cards remade that says doing his business till he returns. Because that's just got to be on the forefront of my heart. And maybe this morning this is just totally for me and not for you. You know, isn't that the way the Lord just kind of sometimes drops things in our hearts? But a lot of folks find themselves being busy, but it's not about the business. lots of smoke, lots of commotion. And again, the American society is, let's go, let's go. Well, where are we going? I don't know, but let's go. And we're going nowhere fast. Because we're caught up, not in the business, but we're caught up in busyness. Let me tell you what, if you weren't in church Wednesday night, Oh, Kingsley got up and he says, now listen, we've got to make some margins. There's got to be, I mean, did anyone else, did that catch the heart of that message? To make room for margins in your life? And if we're busy, I guarantee you there's not enough margins for God to move. And so, wow. Kingsley, we'll have that CD up on the website as soon as we get back from Mexico, because those of you who didn't catch Kingsley, it was only 15 or 20 minutes, but I mean, it was so, so powerful. Luke chapter 19, if you're there in your Bible, say, I got it. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, and because, notice why he's going to speak this parable. They thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. So this parable is about what? It is about the kingdom of God. Therefore, he starts his story. I would love to hear Jesus tell stories, wouldn't you? I would love to have heard the inflections. I would have loved to have heard the way Jesus told these stories. Because I'm sure that Jesus had a way of telling these stories that just made these stories come such alive. Therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. Everyone say a kingdom. And to return. Kingdom, and then he's going to return to set up his kingdom. And so he called 10 of his servants, and all the servants said, amen. And he called 10 of his servants, amen. That's us. We're the servants of God, hallelujah. We're the servants of the king who's coming back to set up his kingdom. And I've almost gone, see, now prison, we're so glad to have you. We have one of our friends in prison. He got out several months ago. So glad to have you this morning. Can we give him a hand? They would have shouted me down at that. I know that's right. I deserve that. I was going to say, I was almost getting to that. And he called 10 of his servants and delivered them, and he gave to them 10 minas. Now, 2.5 years worth of wages, a mina, not a bird. I thought, like, what are they doing with 10 birds? That's what I thought when I was younger. And he said to them, everyone say it with me, do business till I come. The king, the nobleman, has went away. But he's going to return, and he hands out the gifts. He hands out the resources, and he says, take the resources, say it with me, do business till I come. Man, this is wonderful words. But the citizens hated him. I mean, you know who that is. And sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man reign over us. Such words of impact that Jesus is able to declare in such a few short amount of space. Do business till I come. I want you to notice something first here today. The king is returning. The king is coming. Oh, the king is coming. Yes, the king is coming. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24. I forgot to tell you to put your stringy dally over in Matthew 24. So you have to turn over there now because Pastor's just too excited. Matthew 24, starting in verse 3. Because a lot of folks are interested. When are you returning, Lord? How do we know? And as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples privately came to him saying, Jesus, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end? Everyone say the end. The end of the age. And Jesus said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And again, so many folks getting caught up, and I have to stop here. So many folks get caught up in end time eschatology, and whether it's pre or post or mid, or whether, you know, all these type of things. And who is the Antichrist? You know, I mean, come on, church. We just need to be more concerned about, are we ready if he comes? Because again, we put all these stuff, and I know there are numbers in the Bible that are important. But there's no adding up letters in the Bible. When I was growing up, and I was probably not old enough to realize this, you know what happens if you add up the letters of Henry Kissinger? 666. He's the Antichrist. Come on, really? And then, we don't need to worry. That's just stuff to kind of get us, and it's fun to talk about sometimes. But let me tell you what, the main thing is, do business till I come. Just be ready, be doing business till I come. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise up and deceive many. And notice this, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Because of in those last days, because of lawlessness, because anything goes, because we're politically correct, and because no one wants to step on any toes, and because no one wants to call sin, sin, and black is black, bless God. Amen. I'm preaching now, Mike. Hello? That's the day we're living in, the day of lawlessness. And you just get so irritated when you see these things that are slowly. And again, the church, as a general rule, they say, is only 10 years behind the world. The church is only 10 years behind the world. If the world thinks something is acceptable and something is normal here, then generally about 10 years later, the church has embraced it. Because this, the law has not changed. Amen. This word, which is truth and nothing but truth, has not changed. And so, Lord, help us to keep the standard. Help us, Lord, to keep the way that this scripture says is the way, the only way. Because Jesus is the way, amen, the truth and the light, and Jesus is the word. Hallelujah. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, he who's doing the business, that's what it's talking about, will be saved. Hallelujah. And this gospel, everyone say this gospel. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. Guess what we're doing this week? We're leaving our comfort zone. Now, who did I hear they were talking again? You see what next week's forecast was? If we'd have been down a week later, 105. We're only going to be in 95 with 95% humidity. Yeah, which the heat index will be 105. Absolutely. But we got lots of agua, lots of water. That's not a problem. And so, but you know what? This is something that we're sacrificing, all of us. Again, I love the fact that we were reminded by Wednesday night, we were reminded that, you know what? Those who stay get the same reward as those who go. Amen. Those who stay are going to get the same reward as those of us who go. And so, but we've all sacrificed. We've all realized that, you know what? We need to take the gospel. And so I realize this family is, they're already believers. Raka and Raquel and Haka, they're already believers. And so we're not, but how many of you know all the little kids that are going to be thronging Jakota and Isaac? And they're going to, don't let me forget balloon pump. So I've got balloon animals I need to teach the kids how to blow up for some of the kids. I blew up a balloon last night and about passed out. If you've ever tried to blow up a balloon animal, you know what I am talking about. Because let me tell you what, it takes everything you got and then some. Those guys, I guarantee those guys in the power team could not blow up a balloon animal. They might could blow up a hot water bottle, but they cannot blow up a balloon animal. Man, it takes some stuff to blow it up. We're going. We're going to take the gospel. It's part of our commission. Everyone, amen? And notice this, and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, I want you to differentiate between cold love versus the great commandment. Cold love, their love will grow cold, apathetic, don't care. That's their problem. That's their problem. They got themselves into it. Let them get them out. No compassion. No anything. It's the attitude of the world. Every man for himself. Amen? But notice the difference then between the great commandment. Luke chapter 10, the great commandment. And he answered and said, when they asked him what is the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love these beautiful people. We just happened to be born in the right place, didn't we? We got born. We were born in the right country. It's the only difference between us and them. They just happened to be born in a impoverished nation where it's so difficult to break even and get out of it. But you know what? When you go to those churches in Mexico, you'd never know it. They don't think of themselves that way. They don't see themselves that way. They got the joy of the Lord all over their face. They're happy. They love God because God graces them. Amen? That's what grace is for. It kicks in for these people. And so, love the Lord your God, but love your neighbor as yourself. You see, that you got to understand this. Jesus understood himself. He understood the importance of do business. Do take care of the family business. When he's a little boy, Luke chapter 2. He's a little boy. Parents have taken him to Jerusalem. And they head off to go back home. And they think Jesus is in the group. And they finally found him. And he had been teaching. He had been confounding the leaders of the church, all the Pharisees and all the ones who are supposed to know it all, know all the scripture. And Jesus has already confounded them and just made them look silly as a little boy. And his parents said, where were you, Jesus? Why did you come when we? He said, listen, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my, say it with me, Father's business? Did you not know? This is why I came. This is why I came to the earth, that I must be about my Father's business. But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Let me tell you what, there's a lot of folks that don't understand why we want to take our hard-earned resources and send it away. They do not understand, church, the ministry and the life of giving, the life of sowing, the life of having ourselves being, Paul says, I was poured out as a drink offering. We're being poured out, church. And again, you know, you didn't get to go to Mexico, but guess what? Monday, Wednesday, help me out, Rhoda. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from here until August, you can go serve at Jim Hogg Park. Right? Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, from here until August, you can go serve at Jim Hogg Park and feed our community. I mean, the opportunities are there, church. Just because you're not going to Mexico with us, and again, this will be the first, I feel like, of many of our trips that we'll get to go and to do this ministry down in Reynosa. And so, being poured out about our Father's business. Here's the thing. Jesus had a focus. Everyone say focus. Jesus had a focus that would not allow himself to get distracted from the business. See, some people, they have great intentions, and all of a sudden they're going on, but then comes the distraction. For me this week, I had one day where I had to get all this stuff done before Kingsley got here. Because I knew once Kingsley and them got here, you know, my time would be filled up and everything. And so I'm about the business, and I'm up early, and I'm working. And then as soon as I get over to Mike and Charlotte's house, and I didn't put the key in the ignition because I can't find the keys. And now the game begins. Where did Pastor Hartley put his keys? And instead of getting on to my next thing and getting my list taken care of and all those things, now we're spending the next 30 minutes. It was embarrassing. And then the comments start coming, well, Pastor Hartley, you know, you can just get another truck. It'll come with a set of keys. You know, those type of. Thanks. I needed to hear that. And don't you know it? As I'm getting ready to leave and getting ready to drop and get in someone else's vehicle, so I go home and get an extra set of keys, there they are in plain sight. Hidden in plain sight. But what a distraction. That just absolutely sidetracked me. And the Lord said, there it is. We just got real busy. And we didn't accomplish anything. I mean, we accomplished absolutely, except that Pastor Hartley probably needs to clean out his truck. Don't you laugh at me. You know you just... Busy. Man, we were feverish about it. We were intent about it. But you know what? It wasn't helping us accomplish any of the business at hand. In church, we get that way. All of a sudden, we're going along and this distraction hits us. And all of a sudden, the mentality of the kingdom is just far from our mind. And all of a sudden, all these other things begin to captivate us. We've got to stay focused. We've got to have a focus to do business till he comes. And it's every day in every way. Every day in every way. And it's not that we don't have, because we're going to see in a moment, there's going to be some joy in doing the business. God doesn't want us to do business with a hard, crusty, oh, I've got to do this. No, there should be a joy in serving. Because there's no reward for you, I promise you, if you're doing it with the wrong attitude. There's no reward. You're fooling yourself. People who think they can do things with the wrong heart and the wrong attitude, they're totally being lied. I mean, they just don't get it. But there is a great reward. Amen? Amen. Jesus will not allow himself to get sidetracked, to get distracted from the kingdom, from the business that at hand. And that's the same way with us. Again, let's close this morning. I took you here a couple of years ago, but I want you to go again. 1 Kings chapter 2, and then put a marker in 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 2, 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and we'll close with this. It's my first closing. And when David's time was to die was very near, he told his son Solomon, here's what I want you to do, Solomon. I'm going away of the earth, so be strong in the Lord. This is the business I want you to do. Be strong in the Lord. Show yourself to be a man. Do what the Lord your God tells you. Walk in his ways. Keep his laws and his words and that which is written in the law of Moses. That's the business I want you to do. I'm getting ready to go, and I've done my best to try to set the example. But Solomon, let me just lay it out for you real clear. Because how many of you know sometimes us boys are not the brightest, sharpest stick in the box? That's right. Be strong in the Lord. Show yourself to be a man, a real man. Do what the Lord your God tells you. Walk in his ways, all these things. So Solomon starts off pretty good. And Solomon begins by, first thing he does is, Lord, I don't know how to go in and out. That's the first thing he tells the Lord. I do not know how to go in and out. Come into your presence and go out to battle. I don't know how to do that. Would you please help me, Lord? And so he offers these sacrifices, these bulls. You know the story, right? And God is so impressed with his request that God says, listen, I'm going to give you all these things that you didn't ask for. Plus, I'm going to give you that wisdom that you want. And he's going along great. But then something happens. Solomon gets distracted. Solomon loses his focus. And then we read these things then. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, starting in verse 6. And Solomon went up there to the bronze altar. That was the good part that he was doing. I meant to skip over that. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4. And again, notice Solomon did have an outward and upward look. But then Solomon got an inward look. His look was an outward and an upward look. Church, that's what our look has to be. Upward and outward. But Solomon got an inward look. And then we read, go ahead to Ecclesiastes for me. And I made my works great. And I built myself and planted myself vineyards. And I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of trees in them, and I made myself water pools, swimming pools, and I did this for myself, and I did this for myself. And his inward look, church, lost the focus of an outward and an upward look. We've got to keep our focus and do business, not busyness. Amen. Till he comes. Let's close this morning. Matthew chapter 13, turn there. Verse 44. Matthew 13, 44. And this sums it up so well. This parable, in one sentence, sums it up about doing the business of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. And again, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field, which one man found. So this guy's coming home from his journey, right? He's coming home from his journey. He's got a staff in his hand, and he's tired, and he says, you know what? I think I'm going to take a shortcut through this old field. And he's going along with, and next thing you know, his staff goes clink. Well, that was strange. Clink, clink. And he uncovers it, and there is a golden laden box. And he opens the box, and it's filled with more gold. And it's filled with more treasure. And he's like, woohoo! Don't want to say it too loud because he didn't want anyone to know about it. And he says, now, I can't just take the box. That would be stealing. But there's not a homestead. So what should I do? So first thing he did was rebury it. That's what Jesus said, right? He reburied it. He hid it. And then notice what it says. and for joy. Everyone say for joy. Church, that's what it's got to be. It's got to be for joy. For joy. He goes and sells all that he has. Oh, he had to sell everything that he has. But that was temporary. Right? Temporary. And that's how we have to look at it. It's just everything we have here is temporary. And what are we going to do when it's all said and done anyway with all that stuff we have? Give all our stuff to someone else. Now they got our stuff. Right? They don't want it. It's right. He sells everything he has and he buys that field. Man. And now he has true treasure. I'm telling you, this is what we're doing. We are laying down. We've sacrificed to do these things that we're doing, church. But you know what? There's a treasure. Bless God. There is a treasure that God has for us for being servants and for going. Amen. Stand with me this morning. Come on, men. You're going to Mexico? Come join me. You're going to Mexico? Come on, men. That's right. Absolutely. Can't do it without you guys.